Welcome back. How's everybody doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studios at 303 Wacker. Here till 5 a.m. Dan Long filling in for Dan Shigrew, Vic Vaughn in the newsroom, and Esmeralda Leon in the hut following your traffic. That's what's happening this morning. Our phone number is 312-981-7200 for talk and text. A little bit later on after the 4:30 news, we are going to jump into another edition of Music IQ. It'll be Dan Long's first time playing along with Esmeralda and myself, where all three of us will quiz each other on music trivia. So that's coming up. Right now, I've got here in front of me a group of defunct restaurant chains. See if anybody remembers any of these defunct restaurant chains. The first one on the list is Howard Johnson's. The Howard Johnson's company launched in the 1920s and grew along with American car culture. By the 60s, over 1,000 of the restaurant hotel chain's distinctive orange roofs dotted American highways. However, within a few scant decades, they disappeared. The hotel portion of the business was sold off, still existing in name, but none of the Hojo design elements were there. Meanwhile, the restaurant ended slowly. As of 2017, there's only one Howard Johnson still in business. Esmeralda, do you remember Howard Johnson's restaurants?
I do not.
Have you seen Swingers?
Yeah, a long time ago. Uh-huh. They talk about it in Mad Men.
Yeah, absolutely. They do talk about it. Well, that was like the peak of Howard Johnson's popularity, was when that time period. But in Swingers, there's the scene where they go out after they've been out in the clubs and drinking, where they go out and Vince Vaughn like stands on the table and like hands somebody a breakfast and stuff. That was filmed in a Howard Johnson's. They were still around back when Swingers came out in the mid-90s. But yeah, Howard Johnson's. Vic, you remember Howard Johnson's, right? The restaurants?
Yes.
There was one right downtown here right across the street from the Rock and Roll McDonald's. That used to be a Howard Johnson's, and they had a Howard Johnson's restaurant in there, and it was a Howard Johnson's hotel. And I still know it's a Best Western now. I think it's a Best Western now, if I remember correctly. But that was where there was a Howard Johnson's there too, and they were all over the place. You know, they were like a lot of them were in rest stops. Like when you were driving, you would stop at a Howard Johnson's. There'd be a motel right there, and then the hotel. Now, I had never gone to this one, but has anybody ever go to Kenny Rogers Roasters? Kenny Rogers, by the way, has come up now three mornings in a row on this show. Why? We had like a 20-minute conversation about Kenny Rogers the other morning. Popped up yesterday on the show, and now Kenny Rogers is popping up. It's Kenny Rogers week here on the Nick DiGilio Show. I don't know if you guys know that or not. But has anybody ever gone to a Kenny Rogers? Dan, have you ever gone to a Kenny Rogers roaster? I mean...
No, I mean, I only saw it on the Seinfeld episode, but I can't even think of a location that I've ever even physically seen in person.
I had heard about them, but I don't think there was ever one in Chicago. Anybody ever go to one? Vic, you ever go to a Kenny Rogers roaster?
Have not.
Esmeralda? No, I would imagine
not,
right?
No, I never went.
I don't know if there ever was one in the Chicagoland area. If there was, 312-981-7200. Country singer Kenny Rogers teamed with business partner John Y. Brown to launch the chicken chain in 1990. While the food was popular, they were never able to break into the market, and the restaurants were sold off to Nathan's in 1998. However, the chain was immortalized in a classic episode of Seinfeld. So Nathan's now owns them? So what are they, hot dog joints now? They probably turned them into hot dog joints then. All right. How about Minnie Pearl's Chicken? You guys probably don't even know who Minnie Pearl is. Maybe Vic does. Vic,
we're just switching out country music personalities.
It seems
now.
Like, yeah. Well, you know who Minnie Pearl is?
Yeah, she's the lady with the hat and the tag off.
That's right. She's
I don't know what she was famous for, but I could picture her.
She was a comedian, a comedic actress, Minnie Pearl.
Character, maybe.
Yeah, and she was on Hee Haw a lot. And did a lot of talk shows, and Esmeralda, I don't think you probably never heard of Minnie Pearl, right?
I have, yeah.
Oh, okay. But like her bit was, she had like Vic said, like her bit was she walked around with a goofy hat that had a price tag hanging off of it. That was like that was her bit. Now these guys who buy baseball hats leave their price tag, like it's like a bunch of modern day Minnie Pearls out there.
Except they're not dangling by a string.
No.
That would seem weird.
Anyway, she had a chicken joint. The story of Minnie Pearl's chicken has become a cautionary tale for franchisees. In the 1960s, businessman John J. Hooker teamed with country singer and comedian Pearl to launch a chain of restaurants bearing her name. Initially a success, there were nearly 500 locations at one point. However, the lack of a cohesive menu or recipes sabotaged the food. The whole franchise fell apart within a few years. Did anybody ever go 312-981-7200? If you remember back in the 60s, was there a Minnie Pearl's chicken around here?
I think that one failed for the same reason the Kenny Rogers one did. They counted their money at the table. You never do that.
Oh, wow. There you go, everybody. You know, as we discovered, Vic, I don't know if you were listening intently a couple of days ago, we discovered that there have been 5 gambler TV movies with Kenny Rogers. 5 of them. And a movie version of Coward of the County.
You got to milk it as far as you can, right?
Yeah. Oh, man. How about the All-American Burger? I remember the All-American Burger. I don't know if we ever had All-American Burger here in Illinois. It was a Southern California All-American Burger chain. Was never more than regional fast food joint. However, it became famous when it was featured in the 1980s teen film Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Oh, so it's in Fast Times. I don't even remember that. The final West Coast location closed in 2010. If you're on the East Coast, however, on Long Island, the establishment using the same name has logos that's been open since 1961 and is serving up delicious burgers to this day. So, the All-American Burger. You know how I know the All-American Burger? Because I watch old reruns of game shows. And like from the 70s, and they were giving away coupons and gift certificates to All American Burger as a consolation prize. That's the only reason I really know it is the All American Burger. You get yourself a month supply of All American Burger featuring fries, burgers, and drinks. The All American Burger. So is that one of the jobs, the All American Burger, is that one of the jobs that Judge Reinhold had? Because I know he had the fish and chips job, right? Does he get fired? When he gets fired, does he get fired from All American Burger? And then he has to go and work at that stupid that stupid fish place where he has to wear the pirate costume? I can't remember. I don't remember much about Fast Times at Ridgemont. Unlike most people around my age, I'm not a real big Fast Times fan. But I think that might be where Judge Reinhold got fired, because he was Employee of the Month and he screamed at a customer and then got fired, and then that's where he ends up getting that job where he has to drive around with a stupid pirate costume on at the fish place. How about this one? White Tower. So can you be more blatant in trying to rip off White Castle? What is that? White Tower, the first White Castle, opened in 1921 and became the first popular fast food chain. As is prone to happen in business, numerous imitators quickly opened. One of these knockoffs was known as White Tower. Opened by John E. Sachs and his son Thomas, White Tower copied White Castle's menu, style, advertising, and even architecture. At its height, there were 230 White Towers, but the chain died after legal action from White Castle forced them to make significant changes. Well, yeah. So they had the restaurants themselves looked like a castle. They had a tower. They had the same menu. How do you expect to stay in business doing that? How do you expect not to have a lawsuit? But, you know, there was another White Castle kind of a ripoff place. Dan, you're familiar with the Nisei Lounge.
Very much so.
I know. When I was a drinker, I was very familiar with the Nisei Lounge. And whenever I went to a Cub game, that was always the bar I went to. I stayed away from any other bar in that neighborhood.
Oh, yeah. That's
Nisei was the only bar I went to before.
Exactly after my itinerary.
Yep. Now, right across from there, is there still, because I have not been there, you know, in a bunch of years, is there still the bagel joint? Right across, you know, like at Sheffield and Sheffield and Clark, and the three-way stop there is a Grace? Grace Sheffield? No, it's not Grace. South School. School, Sheffield, and Clark.
Yeah, I think I think it is still there.
Einstein's Bagel.
Or it might have, because I know there's a Thai place there.
Oh, I know the Thai place. I'm talking right on the corner, though. Like, right, the Thai place is a little bit down the street. I know the Thai place. I've been to the Thai. I used to eat at the Thai place all the time because we did a show at Stage Left, which was right down the street. We did a play there for a few months, and so I ate there a lot. But
okay, yeah, maybe that's gone. I think the Einstein brothers are gone.
That space right there at the corner, that six corner area right there with Sheffield and Clark and school. That corner right directly across the street from the Nisei where that bagel place used to be. That used to be, if anybody can remember, 312-981-7200. That was a White Castle ripoff place. Like, they sold the mini burgers, and I can't remember what it was called. It wasn't White Tower. We were talking about this White Tower place, which was a clear, blatant ripoff of White Castle, and they caused legal action. But if anybody can remember what the name of that place was, right there on Sheffield and Clark, on that corner right there, it was a Einstein's Bagels most recently, or at least a few years back. But that used to be a White Castle ripoff joint that was, you know, another sort of blatant White Castle ripoff joint that sold the mini burgers and all that stuff. Oh, do we have it? Oh, okay. Here's Thomas on WGN. Hey, Thomas.
Hey, Nick. It was King Castle.
King Castle, yeah. That's what it was.
You get a plate full of swag.
Yeah.
One, nothing.
Yeah, that's the one. That was King Castle. That's what that was. That used to be right there at Sheffield and Clark, King Castle.
There was one downtown right next door to the State and Lake Theater in the 70s.
Oh, yeah, there was.
Right off the alley.
Exactly. Oh, my God, I totally remember that. All right, Thomas, thanks, man.
All right.
Have a good one. Yeah, I totally forgot about that. We would go, my dad and I, when we went to the movies, that's when I was growing up, I used to go to the, there used to be, Dan, you probably don't remember this, but there used to be 800 movie theaters in the Loop. Like the Chicago Theater right across the street where the ABC studios are there. That used to be the State Lake Theater. There were literally, it was like Times Square in that there were like movie theaters every 2 feet. And all the movies that I went to when I was a kid, I saw in the Loop with my dad. We would go on Sunday mornings and see at least two movies at those grindhouse theaters in there. And, you know, I think we went to the King Castle maybe once or twice. But we used to go to the old school cafeterias. Because there used to be like three or four of those cafeterias down there where you would get a tray, you know, like Manny's, like at Manny's Deli, where you get the you pull a tag, you get a number,
yeah,
and you get a tray, and you go down, and you get this, you get that, and they've got guys working behind the counter, they serve you up. There used to be a bunch of those cafeteria-style restaurants everywhere in the Loop, and that's where we used to go all the time before or after movies. So we didn't go to King Castle very often, but we went to the 9,000 cafeteria-style restaurants. I miss cafeteria-style restaurants.
Yeah, they don't have...
They're awesome.
That...
Manny's
is the only one.
The only
one.
No, you know what? Ronnie's Steakhouse at Clark and Lake, right there at the Blue Line stop. If you go upstairs, there's
just ate there.
Yeah, Ronnie's is great. It's great, and
Jeannie loved it.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, you know, it's really cheap. Obviously, you're not going to get the best cut of meat in the world.
It's a T-bone, but it's a little on the thin side. But like you said,
yeah. No,
steak, eggs, big Texas style toast. I think it's like five something.
It's cheap,
ridiculous,
and it's the old school cafeteria style. You get your tray, you wait in line, you slide down, you get your steak, you get your sides, you get a drink, you pay at the cash register, and then you go and sit down with your tray and you have your food.
And you know what? I've been going there for years, back to the late 90s, and the workers are always happy there. They love it.
Yeah.
It's like they love working there, so that's a good sign.
I took the Blue Line down on Saturdays, because I used to have a show on Saturdays here in the evening, I would come down like 45 minutes, hour early, and get off at Clark and Lake, that was the stop I would get off. And I would always go to Ronnie's. I would just go to Ronnie's, get something to eat. That was the best, man. It's still great. So, and there used to be a few of those. There was one of those on Randolph, right in the theater district that I'm talking about. That was one of them. So, cafeteria style restaurants, we miss those. You got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done. Yeah. Ah, yes. Your number one source for Kenny Rogers information right here on WGN. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Coming up after 4:30, we're going to have a little music IQ quiz between Dan and Esmeralda and myself. Dan Long in for Dan Shakiru this morning. Dan will be back on Monday. So we are talking about restaurants that are defunct, and do you remember any of them? The next one here is Chi-Chi's. Now, I remember Chi-Chi's. I've been to Chi-Chi's. Chi-Chi's was launched in the 1970s by Marno McDermott and NFL star Max McGee. The chain grew quickly, introducing a rudimentary menu of Mexican-style food to many American towns. However, as the popularity and variety of Mexican restaurants grew, Chi-Chi's began to phase out. In addition, in 2003, a hepatitis outbreak in the food supply led to 3 customer deaths. Oh, boy. Jeez, I don't remember that at all. Wow. And I ate at Chi-Chi's. I had a friend who bartended at Chi-Chi's. Esmeralda, did you ever go to Chi-Chi's?
Yeah. I was just telling Vic, my first boyfriend, his family would go there for special occasions.
Oh, Chi-Chi's, yeah.
I just remember thinking,
This is a special occasion. Let's go to Chi-Chi's. Now, did you know that in 2003, a hepatitis outbreak in their food supply led to 3 customer deaths?
Oh, gross.
I did not know that, and I've eaten at Chi-Chi's. Now I feel like brushing my teeth. I have no idea what that means.
We're not dead yet.
Yeah. How about Lum's? L-U-M apostrophe S. You don't remember Lum's, do you, Esmeralda?
No.
Lum's was on the corner of North and Wells. There's a Boston Market there now, if I remember correctly. I mean, I haven't been in North and Wells in a while. Boston Market there now. That used to be Lum's in Old Town. My aunt used to waitress there when I was a little kid. And they had beer-steamed hot dogs. That's what they were most known for. And I remember we went to Lum's, you know, to visit my aunt. We used to go to Old Town a lot. My parents used to go take me down to Old Town a lot and we'd go to head shops and stuff. It was really very weird. Lots of hippies and lots of stuff going on in the early 70s there in Piper's Alley. But so we went to Lum's and my aunt was working and they got me one of them hot dogs and I had a cream soda. And then when we left, I threw up all over Wells.
So not so unusual for Wells.
No, not at that time, especially at that time, especially in the early 70s, it was just a pool of vomit. That's all it was on North Avenue in Wells. But brothers Clifford and Stuart Perlman launched Lum's in Florida in 1971. The chain's beer steamed hot dogs and distinctive glass door storefronts made it popular enough to support 400 locations at one point. Perlman's eventually sold the chain to KFC for $4 million. The brand was eventually phased out, and the final Lum's closed in 2009. So, yeah, that's my strongest memory of Lum's is that I vomited after I ate a beer-steamed hot dog there, and I was probably 5 or 6 years old. I just remember it was a staple in Old Town. So, all right, more of these. If you guys want to jump in with restaurants that no longer exist, 312-981-7200. I always think of Boogie Nights when I hear this. Oh, man. How you doing, everybody? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. It's Thursday morning. We didn't do the Triple Play Thursday. Dan Shagru was out this morning. He'll be out again tomorrow morning. Be back on Monday. Dan Long, we thank Dan for filling in, and we appreciate it, and he'll do it again tomorrow. It's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we've been talking about defunct restaurants that we all remember. And some that we might not. And we got a whole bunch of texts coming in. We got some calls. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. We'll have another edition of Music IQ coming up after the 4:30 news. And let's see. Here is Jim on WGN. Hi, Jim.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
We were calling about used to be Wimpy's Hamburgers downtown.
Ah, yes, Wimpy's Hamburgers. And the logo was Wimpy from Popeye.
Right.
Yeah.
And right next door to Steak and Flake was Tough and Eddie's restaurant.
Ah, yes. I remember that, too. But Wimpy's was... I used to love going to Wimpy's restaurant. I don't know how... I mean, I know that there were a bunch of them, And I know there were a few in Chicago, but the one downtown is the one that I would go to as well. And all right, Jim K., thanks for the call. Here's Mary on WGN. Hi, Mary.
Hi.
Hi.
Ponderosa is no longer around.
No, I remember Ponderosa. Those are classic. Ponderosa, and they used to also have Bonanza Steakhouse. But I think in our area, it was Ponderosa, but I think other areas had Bonanza.
Yes. Well, I really like Ponderosa and miss it.
Ponderosa. Okay, thank you, Mary.
Thanks.
Ponderosa, it says here, Ponderosa and Bonanza Steakhouse is now owned by the same parent company, once numbered in hundreds through the U.S. Today, the total of both stands under 20 across America. So there used to be a bunch of Ponderosas. And there was also, we've got 815 area code. My favorite defunct restaurant is Sizzler. I miss it. You know that's one of the greatest scenes in motion picture history, isn't it? Dan, have you seen White Men Can't Jump? When Kadeem Hardinson, going to Sizzler, going to Sizzler. That's one of my favorite. That's my favorite moment in that entire movie. And that's a very funny movie and a very good movie. Going Sizzler, going Sizzler. Oh, man. There used to be a steakhouse, you know, these like steakhouse places that we've been talking about. You know, it's very similar, like Ponderosa and Sizzler. And places like that were also cafeteria style. Like you would get your tray, you would walk up to the menu and pick the steak that you wanted, and then you would go down and see the steak getting cooked, and then they would put it on your tray and you would bring it out. And that's what they did. That was how Sizzler was, and that's how Ponderosa was. But there was a restaurant at Addison, what's that corner? It's right. It's across the street from Lane Tech, the football stadium. And I'm trying to remember what that cross street is. Addison, it's right before California. It's you know, before the bridge. I don't know what's there now. But right there on that corner, it's going to make me crazy, but I can't think of the cross street. But anyway, it was right across the street, just west on the same side of the street as Lane. And it was just west. It was the street just west of the football stadium. Anyway, on that corner right there, they had a steakhouse. You know, very similar cafeteria, commercial, you know, chain like steakhouse, like Sizzler and like Ponderosa, called The Forge. This was in the 70s. I remember we used to go there. My parents and I used to go there pretty regularly, and it was called The Forge. And it was set up just like, you know, your typical steakhouse. And, you know, you would get your tray and go on and get order your food. But I used to think the name of that place was hilarious. And I don't know if there was a chain or that just wasn't as successful. But, yeah, it was called The Forge. Whatever that street crossing is there. I don't know what's there now. But, yeah. So, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We got some texts coming in. 312 area code says the Woolworth's lunch counter at Lincoln and School, Lincoln Avenue and School Street. That's where I grew up. That Woolworth's. It's condos now. Used to be a Woolworth's right there, and they did have a lunch counter in there. This was back when you go, you know, in my neighborhood, because I grew up at Addison and Ravenswood. And so if you wanted to go shopping, there was no mall. You would go to Lincoln Avenue. That's what we would do. We would walk up Lincoln Avenue. Walk south on Lincoln Avenue. You can go to the Weebolts. There was a Weebolts there. There was a Goldblatt's. There was a Woolworth's. A couple of record stores. And where I bought my first album, that was now it's a Subway sandwich place, not a actual train. But it's a Subway sandwich place, and it was at Belmont, Lincoln, and Ashland. You know, that's Six Corners area. And the place I bought my first album I ever bought was Paranoid by Black Sabbath. And it was called The Record Roost. The best names ever. The Record Roost. Oh, yeah. 262 area code. Love Renaissance Man Kenny Rogers Roasters. Never had the Kenny Rogers, but I'm very curious about it. I'm basically really curious about it because of the Seinfeld episode. Because Newman and Kramer got hooked on the Kenny Rogers Roaster. And that's the episode where they switch apartments, and Jerry becomes Kramer at one point. I'm on no sleep. Here's Paul on WGN. Hi, Paul.
Hi. Hi, Nick.
Hey.
You remember before Taco Bell, there was a place called Zantigo?
No. I do not remember Zantigo.
No, it was had basically the same kind of food. And then they disappeared, and then all of a sudden Taco Bell popped up everywhere.
Wow. No, I don't know Zantigo. And it was a chain?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't
up here in Wisconsin.
Oh, okay. I don't remember that. I don't remember Zantigo at all. I do remember Noggles. I've mentioned Noggles before, and actually a 312 area code says Noggles at Western and at Addison and Western, overpriced imitation Mexican. Yeah, Noggles was, boy, we're talking a lot about that area. Addison and Western area, talking a lot about that area. The Forge used to be over there. No, but Noggles was like, it was essentially Taco Bell. So it wasn't Mexican food. It was just whatever that is. And it's at Addison and Western. That used to be at Addison and Western. It was now, I think it's a Popeyes at Addison and Western there. That's a Popeyes. Used to be a Noggles. And before the Noggles, it was a Jack in the Box. So it's always been like a fast food restaurant. That building on the corner has always been the fast food restaurant. But yeah, I don't remember Zantigo, but I do remember Noggles. There was a Noggles. We used to go see, my friends and I used to go see a Black Sabbath tribute band called War Pigs all the time. We became friends with the guys. And they kicked ass. They were great. They were great. And one of the things I loved about them, they were a tribute band, but they didn't come out. You know how you get these Zeppelin tribute bands that come out like Presence? They come out, they got wigs on. They call each other Bonzo and Jimmy. You know what I mean?
Right, they inhabit the characters.
Yeah, and they're in character. These guys, the guys in War Pigs, they were just dudes. They were just like, hey, how's it going? You know, I'm a contractor. This is my buddy. And they were dressed like normal dudes. And then they would get on stage, and they would sound exactly like Sabbath. It was ridiculous. They were so good. So we used to follow these guys around, and there was a place in Aurora that because we would seriously travel all over the place to see these guys play gigs at bars. Sometimes we'd go to Aurora, or we'd go someplace out in the suburbs, and we wouldn't want to drive home, so we'd get a hotel room and hang out overnight and then drive home the next day. But we saw War Pigs a bunch of times, and there was a I can't remember the name of the maybe somebody knows the name of the bar where bands like that would play in Aurora. It was one of these bars you would see the ad in the Illinois Entertainer. It was one of those in the back of the Illinois Entertainer when you would look at these bars where like tribute bands and local bands would play all the time. And there was this place in Aurora. Was it called Aftershock? Maybe. Maybe it was called Aftershock. I can't remember. If anybody knows, and you know what I'm talking about. It was like one of these bars that had a stage, and the same bands would play like every month. Tribute bands and, you know, local bands that would play in the same like 15 clubs a month. So there was this one in Aurora that we used to go to, and there was a Noggles right next door or right down the street. And whenever we went to go see War Pigs, we went to the Noggles because obviously Noggles was open late, and we would be drunk after seeing War Pigs. I can't tell you the number of times we went to Noggles while intoxicated after seeing a Black Sabbath tribute band, War Pigs. Double digits, I would imagine.
One day, Bonnie and Clyde said to me, Senor Noggles, what do we have to do to get a real Mexican taco? Rob a bank? No, no, I said, I'll sell you my crisp taco for 69 cents. 69 cents for a crisp tortilla filled with my seasoned ground beef, lettuce, cheese, and of course, I put tomatoes on my tacos. At 69 cents, Bonnie and Clyde thought my crisp tacos were a steal, so they stole them.
Senor Noggles, crisp tacos, 69 cents for a limited time only.
Not sure that one would fly today.
No, not at all. Nothing like ridiculous racial stereotypes to sell your tacos. That's Noggles. Used to be at Addison Western. By the way, I would like to thank the people who were calling in that bar where we saw War Pigs 800 times in Aurora. That's Malo's. How could I forget Malo's? Spent many a night at Malo's watching War Pigs. All right, we're back. It's Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN, and we're talking about restaurants that no longer really exist. And here is Chris on WGN. Hey, Chris.
Hello.
Yes, hello.
Hi. Oh, this is not what I called about, but I remember Sizzler had a mile-long salad bar. You could eat an entire meal just in the salad bar.
Yeah, 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 yeah. The big old salad bar at Sizzler.
Yeah, yeah. And JoJo's and Golden Bear.
Golden Bear. Golden Bear. I remember,
yeah.
I remember Golden Bear restaurants. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, they're all gone now. Chris, thanks for the call. 312-981-7200 is the phone number here. Steve. Hi, Steve.
Hey, Nick. I used to work at Arthur Treacher's Fish and Chips, which was pretty cool. It was a good job.
The Arthur Treacher's Fish and Chips that we used to go to is at Addison just east of Kedzie, so right by the White Castle.
And this was in Hoffman Estates.
This one, the one that was in the city that I used to go to, it's now a Little Caesars. It's now a Little Caesars, but that used to be Arthur Treacher's Fish and Chips.
Well, I remember working at Ponderosa, and my friend Mike was one of the co-managers, and we dropped acid the one night, and we had the world's biggest food fight in that place. And
there you go.
This one kid was kind of way out there, and he found this mouse, and he deep-fried it and with the fries and stuff, and...
Yeah,
it was after work, but yeah, I'll never forget that.
Yeah, I wouldn't have forgotten that either, Steve. Deep frying a mouse. I'm glad. I hope they cleaned out the oil for the people who ordered French fries the next day. Jeez, wow, nothing says let's drop acid like Ponderosa. So, all right, a few more texts here to wrap this up. Let's see. Farrell's Ice Cream Parlors, 231 area code says, 847 says there was a Kenny Rogers roaster in Hoffman Estates. 815 says Burger Chef was a Burger King wannabe. Great fries, terrible burgers. That's from Alfredo. Noggles at Addison Western, Rocky Rococo Pizza, still alive and well in Wisconsin. There was a Kenny Rogers roasters in Schaumburg on Meacham. Also, it became a Ron Santos Grill. You remember Wimpy's Burgers? They were pretty good. Marco, Southeast Side, was the Phil's Castle. It was famous for the Monster Burger, and there was a King Castle on 83rd and Commercial Avenue. Heroes at Western and Addison. What's going on with Western and Addison? Heroes at Western Addison. Garbage lunch meats, no roast beef. No, the Heroes ruled, and they just recently closed down. Heroes was a sub shop on Addison and Western, a kitty corner from the... from the Popeye / Noggles across the street from Lane, not far from the Forge. And it was the best. I used to go there all the time. That was the sub place that I grew up on, was Heroes. And there was only one, and it had such a distinctive smell and flavor. I thought Heroes was great at Addison and Western. I thought they were great sandwiches. 847 area code says, how about these? It's Dominic in Franklin Park. Shakey's Pizza, Yankee Doodle Dandy, Shoney's, and the Ground Round. I remember the Ground Round.
Yeah. But I think Shoney's is still around. You know who owns a Shoney's franchise?
No.
Big Papa Pump, Scott Steiner.
Come on!
Yeah.
He does? He owns a... Oh, my God. Wow. Hey, by the way, you know, I know you're a wrestling fan. Jim the Anvil Neidhart, man.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. What are we talking about here? And WWE did a terrible job. They didn't have the locker room come out and stand on the ramp and ring the bell 10 times. Guy's a legend. The Anvil was a legend.
And his daughter works for the company.
Exactly. And Natalia has come out, and she, you know, they mentioned it one time. They did like one video package, and that's it. That guy was a legend, and there's only one of the Hart Foundation left, and that's Bret Hart. All the rest of the Hart Foundation is dead.
Yeah.
I was so pissed because I purposely put on Raw at the beginning, like, I got to see this tribute that they do, the Anvil. Nothing. Ronda Rousey came out, mentioned him in a little speech, but that speech was set up for her storyline. It wasn't like a tribute to Neidhart.
By the way, can I get a quick plug in since it's on topic?
Yeah.
Jim Ross and Jerry the King Lawler are at Zany's in Rosemont tomorrow night.
Is that right?
You can hear my interview with Jim Ross at WGNradio.com.
Outstanding. Jim Ross is fantastic.
Very nice guy.
We were just talking about his barbecue sauce last night.
And
really? And his cookbook, because we were talking about celebrity cookbooks, and JR's cookbook came up. Jerry the King Lawler just suffered a loss too.
Yeah,
Grandmaster Sexay.
Sexay.
He was awesome too, man. Man, oh man, you get in the wrestling business, and you're. I mean, the rate at which young people die, people too young to die in wrestling, is insane, insane. So anyway, and then finally, does anybody remember a restaurant called Sambo's? Yes, I do. All right, we're going to break. We got the news coming up, and then after the news, we will play a round of Music IQ right here on 720 WGN.